To turn this morning in God's Word to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. The hymn we have just sung may give you a clue to our text, as it is found in Hebrews chapter 13. Again, we'd like to thank Mr. Trimble for his words of welcome. And it is a joy for us to be here once again in the pulpit here in Orlando. It's been good to have fellowship with God's people over this past week or so. And would like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Walters again for their hospitality and their kindness. And we rejoice that there's always a welcome for us there in their home. I'd like to thank Ken and Judy again for their kindness to my wife and I during our stay there in their home. And we trust that the Lord will bless us this morning as we spend time around the Word of the Lord. Turning to Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll commence reading at the opening verse. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 13 with a prayer that God will bless the public reading of his own holy, inspired, and infallible word to our hearts this Lord's Day morning. Before we consider God's word to our hearts just now, let us look to the Lord in prayer, and let us seek the Lord's help, and let us pray that today we will hear the Lord's voice As we now turn to the Scriptures of truth, let us all pray. Our most loving Father and our gracious God, we bow in Thy most holy presence, very conscious and very aware that, Lord, we are before Thee, the One who is the Almighty God. We're very conscious, O Lord, that we are before One who knows all things, who knows our hearts, who knows our thoughts, and who knows the very condition of our soul. And our gracious Lord, we pray today that as we turn to Thy Word, that, Lord, Thou would shine the searchlight of Thy Word upon our hearts and into our very souls. And gracious Lord, reveal to us in the light of Thy Word what we really are before Thee. And gracious Lord, we pray that through Thy Word this day we will be drawn closer to our Savior. Though, Lord, it is our earnest desire, the prayer of our hearts, that today we will see Jesus, that our eyes, O God, will be fixed upon Him, that will see the Master but will not see the man. Grant our gracious God that indeed this morning we will be taken up with Him. And we ask Thee, our Father, that if there's a soul in the meeting who knows not Christ, and there is one in the meeting, Lord, who is backslidden in heart, we pray, our gracious God, Thou wilt do a work in their heart this morning. And dear Lord, grant that each one of us will leave this house today rejoicing in Jesus Christ our Savior and our Redeemer. Bless the work of the Lord here. Bless this congregation today and in the days to come. Now, loving Father, come and shut us in with Thyself. Breathe upon us this morning. Grant that today we might be able to make much of Christ and of His precious blood. In the Savior's holy name we ask all these things. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. And our text for this morning is the 8th verse. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We have before us this Sabbath morning one of the greatest Christ-centered, Christ-honoring, Christ-glorifying verses in all of God's Word. For it is a verse like the book in which it is found, a verse that cannot be exhausted by the most diligent of students and expositors of the Word. Anyone who studies this verse soon discovers that they are looking into a fountain whose waters can never be exhausted. They're looking up at a great mountain whose summit cannot be reached. They're looking down into an ocean of thought and truth which cannot be fathomed. For the words of our text are simple yet at the same time they are most sublime. The verse is short, yet its subject is inexhaustible. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And what is the subject of this text? The subject is the unchangeable Christ. Everywhere we look in this world, we have evidence of change. People change. Places change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Rules change, laws change, governments change, the economy changes, fashions change, but Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. The seasons change. The creation changes. But the Creator remains the same. For He's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. In the words of Henry Francis Light, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O Thou who changes not, abide with me. May that be our prayer this Sabbath morning, that the unchanging, unchangeable Christ will abide with us this morning. The first thing we want to notice in our text is the unchangeable Christ, the person. These words emphasize the great truth that the person of Jesus Christ never changes. Our text then focuses our attention, first of all, upon a single person. There's only one person mentioned in this text. It is Jesus Christ. And concerning this one person, He's the same yesterday, and today. And the Savior we know today will be the same Savior tomorrow. He's unchanging. He's unchangeable. There's not another person living, or whoever has lived, or whoever will live, of whom these words might be used to describe them. Jesus Christ alone is an unchangeable person. Change takes place in us all. Time changes us. Circumstances change us. Our surroundings change us, but Jesus Christ remains the same. And here we see that Christ is different. He's a different person from every one of us. The Lord Jesus is bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, yet different from every son of Adam. Because every son of Adam changes, but Jesus Christ changes not. That means He's different. Examine the lives of great men that you read about in the Scriptures and you cannot help but see the changes that took place in their lives. Look at the life of Noah. We're told, first of all, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and we're told also that Noah walked with God. But Noah changed. Noah did not always walk with God. Look at the change that took place in Noah's life, because Noah ended his days in disgrace. Behold the change in Noah. Look at Abraham. Abraham, the man of faith. But notice how his faith changed. Notice how Abraham changed. When there was a famine in the land, his faith failed him. His strong faith deteriorated into weak faith. And down he went into Egypt. Almost lost his wife. Became a liar. Did not hold to the truth. Abraham changed. Noah changed. Jesus Christ remains the same. Look at Moses. Moses had a wonderful testimony. We're told in Numbers 12, verse 3. That Noah was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Something took place in the life of Moses that changed his meekness into hot anger. We're told Moses' anger waxed hot when he saw the idolatry of Israel. Saul went through mood changes. David, behavioral changes. Jeremiah, emotional changes. All these men experienced change in their lives. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Go to men like Saul. And their mood may be different today to what it was yesterday, and the mood may be even different tomorrow to what it is today. Have you ever said about someone, my, that individual's a very moody character? You never know when you have them. Their mood changes sometimes, it seems, from hour to hour. Jesus Christ is the same. Never changes. Go to men like David. David changed his behavior in order to try and escape from Saul. He pretended to be a madman. His behavior changed. And there are men like that today. Their behavior changes from day to day. But we go to Jesus Christ, and you will meet with the same person today that you met with yesterday. And the same person you meet with today will be the same person you'll meet with tomorrow. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't matter when we go to Christ, we know that we're going to meet with the same person. How do we know? Because He's the unchanging Christ. Consider the Lord Jesus and His earthly ministry and His changing circumstances. There were those times when there were multitudes hailing Him as the Son of David. In a very short time later, those same crowds were crying out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" But Jesus Christ did not change. He remained the same. His circumstances didn't change Him. His surroundings didn't change Him. His company didn't change Him.
Whether he had the Pharisees or the scribes or the Sadducees or the ordinary common man listening to his ministry, Christ remained the same. He didn't change his message to fit the congregation that he had. He didn't change his behavior because he was dealing with Pharisees or scribes or Sadducees. He remained the same. Oh, it's easy for us to change according to the company we are in. But not Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. What does that tell us then? That reveals to us something else about Jesus Christ. It reveals to us the deity of His person. If He's unchanging, and He's unchangeable, then He must be God. And He is. Malachi 3 verse 6. I am the Lord, or I am Jehovah. I change not. I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He must be God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And here is Christ. Here's Jesus Christ, the unchangeable God. Behold Him in Hebrews 1. Verse 8. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God. The Son is being addressed as God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thy Lord in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. Is the same. It's the same Christ. Everything else around us may change and be folded up like a garment, but Jesus Christ will remain the same. Thy years shall fail not. He is the unchanging, unchangeable God. As the psalmist has said in Psalm 90 verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And according to our text, our Lord and Savior is the unchanging God. He's unchangeable, unchanging from everlasting to everlasting. He remains the same. Many don't believe that. There are men occupying pulpits today, and they don't believe that. You see, they tell us they believe in a God of love. They believe in the God of the New Testament. They don't believe in the God of the Old Testament. They don't believe in a God of war and a God of wrath and a God of anger. No, they believe in a God of love and a God of peace. They will tell us that the God of the New Testament is different from the God of the Old.
No, he's not. He's the same.
The Jesus Christ that we meet with in the Old Testament is the same Jesus Christ we meet with in the New. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God doesn't change. He remains eternally the same. My love is oft times low. My joy still ebbs and flows, but peace with him remains the same, no change. Jehovah knows.
He's the same in his person, the same in his precepts, he's the same in his power, he's the same in his promises. He is eternally the same, unchanging, unchangeable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Not only do we have a single person here, we have also a saving person referred to here. The apostle here is speaking about Jesus Christ. And when we look at the name Jesus, it speaks to us of the Lord's saving work. He became man, as we learned in our Bible class this morning. He became man in order that he might redeem his people and save his church. And when he came into the world, they called his name Jesus, because he will save his people, from their sins. Jesus means God. Or Jehovah is Savior. Jesus Christ is the same Savior today as he was 30 years ago when he saved this preacher. He's the same Savior. He's the same Savior yesterday that he is today. It doesn't matter how many yesterdays we go back. He remains the same Savior as he is today. The Savior that Abraham looked to is the Savior we look to today. The exact same Savior. Oh, don't believe it for a moment that the Old Testament saints were saved some different way to the New Testament saints. Not at all. There's one way, and Jesus Christ is the way. He's the way in the Old Testament as he is in the New. And Abraham, when Abraham got saved through the same Savior, Jesus Christ. When David said, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust, he is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior." Here's David away in the Old Testament, and he's speaking about God, his rock, being his Savior. He's talking about the same Savior we're talking about today. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is the foundation of his church. He is our Savior, as he was David's Savior and Abraham's Savior. And Isaiah heard the sweet voice of deity saying, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Isaiah 43 verse 3. Whose sweet voice was he listening to? Why, the same sweet voice that you and I heard that night when the Lord called us and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The same Savior spoke
to you and I, spoke to Abraham and spoke to Isaiah and spoke to David, hasn't changed. The only difference is that the Old Testament saints look through their types and their shadows. They look forward to the finished work of Christ. We look back, but we all look to the same cross work, and to the same sacrifice, and to the same Savior. He's the same Savior at present as He was in the past. His heart hasn't lost its love for sinners. His eyes still have that look of pity on the lost. His arms are still outstretched, ready to receive all comers. His hands and feet still bear the marks of Calvary. And His blood's the same. His blood hasn't lost its power. And never will, till all the ransomed church be saved to sin no more. And bless God, it will still retain its power after every last one of God's elect are gathered in. The blood will remain the same, because it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's the same yesterday, and He's the same today, and He's the same forever. Glory to His name. But then we notice something else here. Not only a person who is single, Jesus Christ, a person who is a Savior, but a person who is a sovereign, Jesus Christ. The one mentioned in our text is not only Jesus, Savior, He's Christ the Anointed. Those who recognize Him as Christ recognize Him as the Messiah, as the Anointed King. When Andrew met the Savior, we read, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ or the Anointed One. John 1 verse 41. He is the Anointed. He's the Anointed King. He's the Anointed Sovereign. And there's no King like Him, because our King remains the same. He's unchanging and unchangeable. There's not a King like our King. We read of Saul, Israel's first king, 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, that he was anointed with a vial of oil. And then we read about David, and we read that David was anointed with a horn of oil, as though to indicate that he would be a greater and more powerful king than his predecessor. Saul was anointed with a vial of oil, David with a horn of oil. But we read in Psalm 45, verse 7, with regard to our King, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. He's above King Saul. He's above King David. He's above all kings. King Saul changed. King David changed. King Jesus Christ never changes. King Saul changed. King David changed. King Solomon changed. King Hezekiah changed. King David changed. And every other king that ascended to the throne. But the one who sits on the throne in heaven today is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the One who never changes. As we've already read those words in Hebrews 1 verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. His throne is forever. The reign of every other king has and will come to an end. But as the psalmist tells us, the Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Psalm 146, verse 10. Other kingdoms will rise and fall, but the psalmist has declared, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And an everlasting king must have an everlasting kingdom. Jesus Christ is the everlasting king. And the wise men came to worship him. They didn't come and ask, where is he that shall become king of the Jews? They said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? No one is ever born king. They're made king at a later date. Jesus Christ was born king. And he's still king. And he'll always be king. He's the unchanging king of an unchanging kingdom. And then we notice also the unchangeable Christ and his people. Isn't that the very point that the Lord was making to his people when he said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I change not therefore. If the Lord had not been the God of mercy and love, he had always been, then he would have consumed his people. But, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. According to the truth of our text, our Lord Jesus never changes. He is unchanging in his affection for his people. If the Lord Jesus is unchangeable in his person, then he is unchangeable in his love and in his affection for his own people. That will never change. According to the words of his great high priestly prayer, John 17, verses 23 and 24, there we read that he loved us before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus loved us. Before the hills in order stood, her earth received her crown. Christ loved us. And nothing but nothing has changed since then. He loves us just the same. Oh yes, our love for him will change. Our love for him will blow hot and cold. But his love for us will not change, will never change. There will not be one minuscule of change in his love for his people. And even when we do not love him as we ought, that will not make any difference in his love for us. It will remain the same. Because he's unchanging. If Christ, as God, is unchangeable. That His attributes are unchangeable. And His love is unchangeable. Many changes have taken place in us. Do we love the Lord today as we once did? You recall those hours following your salvation? You recall those days after you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Oh, how you loved Him! Your heart was bubbling over with joy. Has anything changed from that? Do you love Him as much now as you did then? Or do you love Him less? Well, I can say today in the authority of this book, even though you may love Him less, Jesus Christ doesn't love you any less. And He doesn't love you any more either. Because the love that He had for you before the foundation of the world is exactly the same love He has for you now. I change, He changes not. The Christ can never die. His love, not mine, the resting place, His truth, not mine, the tie. His love for us never changes whether or not our faith is stronger or weaker. Our love is stronger or weaker. Our heart is tender or hard. He loves us the same. Love with everlasting love. Led by grace, that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me, it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this transport, all divine, in a love which cannot cease. I am His and He is mine. A love which cannot cease. I am His and He is mine. His affection for His people is unchanging. His attention to His people is unchanging. Also, if the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is unchangeable, then so is His attention. He attends to our needs today as He did yesterday, as He did 10 years ago. 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And however longer we may live, He'll attend to those needs in exactly the same way. Because He hasn't changed and He never will. He's the unchangeable Christ. Take care of us today, as He'll take care of us tomorrow. My, what a blessing this is, to know that the Lord Jesus will always take care of us. He'll never change with regard to His attention that He pays to His people. Oh, there may be times when, like David, we may be tempted to say in our times of trouble, God hath forgotten to be gracious. No, He hasn't. He'll never forget His people. He couldn't. He has our names engraved in the palms of His hands. And when He lifts up those hands in holy prayer before His Father, there His Father sees our names. He has our names upon His heart, as the great high priest bore the names of the tribes of Israel upon His breastplate next to His heart.
He has our names upon His shoulders. He has our names upon His mind. His thoughts toward us, the psalmist tells us, is more than the sand upon the seashore. Take a handful of sand. Count the number of grains in that handful. And that's the number of times the Lord's thoughts are toward us. Now multiply that 10 million times. We're constantly upon His mind. We're constantly upon His heart. Remember, He's not the same as other men whose memories fail. No, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will still supply your need according to His riches and glory. He's as rich as ever He was. He will still give you your daily bread. He will still answer your prayers. He will still lead you. He will still guide you. He will still care for you. He will still love you. Because He's unchanging. He will still lift you when you're fallen. He will still heal you when you're sick. He will still comfort you when you're lonely. He will still hold you when you're afraid. He's Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He's the same forever. Unchangeable in His affection. Unchangeable in His attention. He's unchangeable in His appeal. He's still as lovely as ever. How appealing is the Lord Jesus to us today? It's a good question, isn't it, for us to ask ourselves. How appealing is Christ to me today? Do I see Him as Solomon saw Him? Is He altogether lovely? Is He the fairest of 10,000? Is He the rose of Sharon? Is He the lily of the valleys? Or do you not see any beauty in Christ at all? If you do not see any beauty or loveliness in Christ, I fear you're not in Christ at all. Like those who viewed the tabernacle from the outside, they couldn't see any beauty in that tabernacle. The beauty lay inside the tabernacle. And it's only when you're in Christ that you appreciate His beauty. We change as the years go by. We're not as youthful. Not as young looking, not as vibrant, not as agile. But look to Christ, and there's no change there at all. When Solomon wrote that wonderful, wonderful song, he described Christ in the 5th chapter, one of the most beautiful pictures of the Lord contained in all of God's Word. And then Solomon finished with the word, yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. And he wrote those words many, many years ago, but we can say today, He's still white and ruddy. The fairest of 10,000. He still has locks that are bushy and black as a raven. He still has eyes that are as eyes of doves by the rivers of waters. His cheeks are still as a bed of spices, as sweet smelling flowers. His lips are still like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh.
His countenance is still as Lebanon, as excellent as the cedars. His mouth is still most sweet. Yea, he's still altogether lovely. And I trust everyone this morning can say, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. He's an unchanging friend. And finally, we have the unchangeable Christ, the prospect. The Lord Jesus is the same today as He was yesterday. And what a wonderful prospect, He'll be the same tomorrow. You need to have no doubts about that. We need not have any questions in our minds or doubts in our minds as to whether or not the Lord Jesus will love us tomorrow as He's loved us today, or whether or not He'll care for us tomorrow as He cares for us today. He will, because He's the same and will be the same. What a prospect. You can have friends, and maybe you can say about a certain individual, I don't know if that person will be my friend tomorrow or not. You'll never be able to say that about the Lord Jesus. You can say now, I know Christ will be my friend tomorrow. This is a great certainty. In this world in which many things are not certain, and even regarding tomorrow, we are told we know not what a day may bring forth, but we know this for sure, that tomorrow will bring forth the same Christ, the unchanging and unchangeable Lord. That's what tomorrow will bring. If the Lord spares us to see tomorrow. You don't know what changes there will be in the world tomorrow. But this we do know, Jesus Christ will remain the same. A great certainty. There's a great comfort here. There's not much comfort to be found in this ever-changing world. The devil doesn't have any comfort for God's people. Neither does the world, but our comfort is in the unchanging Christ. Just to know He'll be there. Just to know He'll be with us every step of the mile and every mile of the journey. He'll love us and care for us, watch over us, supply our every need. Is that not a comfort? Then you think of the great consolation. For the day is coming when we shall actually see our unchanging Christ. When faith gives way to sight, will we be disappointed? Have you ever tried to think about what the Lord really looks like? We see Him now by faith. I'm sure you've spent hours thinking about what He really looks like. We know He's altogether lovely. We know He's the fairest of 10,000. We know He's the lily of the valleys. We know He's the rose of Sharon. What does He look like? And when faith gives way to sight, will we be disappointed? Not at all. It'll be the same Jesus. Acts 1 verse 11, the angel said to the disciples, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. This same Jesus. which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The same Jesus. See, he will not change. It's the same Jesus. The same Christ. And one day we shall see him. We shall see him face to face. And when we do see him, we'll say the half was not told me. He'll be lovelier than ever we perceived him to be. As we sang there this morning, as of old he walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's way he walketh ever near our side. Soon again shall we behold him. Hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Bless his name. Let's bow in prayer. Most loving God and gracious Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And O Lord, when we come to consider Thy loveliness, all words fail us. And so, Lord, we use Thy word. And Thy word has told us that he is altogether lovely. But Lord, we pray for any soul today who at this moment in time is blinded to the loveliness of Christ. And even with Isaiah, as he described the sinner, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. O gracious God, we pray that even this Sabbath day, eyes will be opened to behold the beauty of the unchanging Christ, to behold the loveliness of the unchangeable Christ. We pray, our gracious God, as we leave this house today, we will do so with our eyes firmly fixed on him. The one who is the Son of Righteousness. Lord, when we turn our eyes to the Son, we'll be blinded to everything else around us. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts today. And be with us as we leave the house of God and make our way home. Lord, travel with us. And return us in Thy will tonight to the Lord's house to meet afresh with the Savior. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.